The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning to you. So, as you will notice, I've got my cell phone up here. I'm actually recording the homily, so I try to do that every once in a while, make sure that if it's any good, somebody else gets to hear it too. So, happy Solemnity of Peter and Paul to you. It's always kind of a special day to me. I was telling Sister Claire earlier, what day year we're in 2024, so 19 years ago, I was ordained a deacon today in our chapel in Rome. It was also back in the day, that was the day that approval of our constitution. Since then, we've got a new constitution, so it doesn't count anymore. But nonetheless, for old-timers like me, still in there. When I think about the Feast of Saints Peter and Saint Paul, this is not my reflection so much, but they are often looked at like two different lungs of the church. Saint Peter representing, if you want, the institutional church, the hierarchical church, the diocesan structure, and Saint Paul representing the missionary church, the religious orders, the charismatic element of the church. And the beauty is that we see from the very beginning of the church that both elements were necessary, they were both present, they were both inspired by the Holy Spirit, who acts with absolute freedom to do whatever he wants as long as we give him the space to act. It's one of the great things about reading the Acts of the Apostles is the apostles clearly didn't know what they were doing. They were just simply like, well, let's think the Holy Spirit's sending us over here, and then they go somewhere and it's like, no, that's not where we're supposed to be. And then, you know, Paul has a dream and crosses into Macedonia and whatnot. So it is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that is behind all of the early church's movements and continues up until today. And what he shows us in these great saints of Peter and Paul, who both kind of co-founded the church in Rome, actually neither of them were the original apostles, because there were lay people that went there first and founded it. But they were the ones who kind of set up the structure, both of them. But each one in their own way contributed and complemented one another. So we ask, well, what does the hierarchical, structural, if you want, church give? Well, it gives above all, I would say, stability. When there is a structure in place, you have priests, you have sacraments, you have parishes, you have stability. You have something solid on which to build. The mission of the charismatic mission of the church, which if you want is the missionary spirit, the religious orders, the charismatic renewal would fall under that, all of the charismatic elements of the church, we tend to stir things up. We make messes, okay? That's our job, is to go out and shake things up one way or another. Whenever there's a new religious order or a new charism, we cause problems. From our perspective, we solve problems. There are problems that are already there that are not being addressed, and God raises up a St. Francis or a Mother Teresa or whoever, and they do something totally new, and everyone says, hey, you can't do that. And then, well, God says we can, and then God approves it with lots of miracles and fruitfulness and growth. So you have these two different dimensions. On the one hand, the stabilizing dimension, and the other end, the kind of inspirational dimension, and between the two of them, when we are docile to the Holy Spirit That is how he builds his church. That's how he saves souls. That's how he transforms culture. So I think today, let's pray for our church. Let's pray that our church, you know, whenever we see divisions in the church, whenever we see infighting and bickering and stuff, guaranteed that is not a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Division is never the Holy Spirit's work. The Holy Spirit always brings about unity. Actually, I remember a cool homily by Cardinal Ratzinger before he was Pope Benedict. He was talking about the devil, actually. He says the word devil means the divider. Diabolos means the one who divides. He says, well, who is the opposite of the devil? And we would normally think St. Michael. He says, no, it's the Holy Spirit. The devil, in a certain sense, doesn't care about St. Michael. He's just the Holy Spirit's agent, right? But the Holy Spirit's function is to unite, and the devil constantly opposes that by dividing. Okay, so whenever we see, you can have differences of opinion. Like, for the Holy Spirit to be a person who unites means that there are two things that are different, but there's also something common, and he brings that common element together so that the two differences support each other instead of fight each other. Okay? So I would say let's pray above all else for a church that learns how to unite in the fire of the Holy Spirit, to recognize mutually where the Holy Spirit is doing something not only in ourselves but also in the person next to us and in the group next to us and whatnot. And finally, since I've got you here, I'm going to make one big commercial plug. I'm going to be doing my spiritual exercises. I'm starting on Tuesday. I'm going to do them privately up at our seminary in Connecticut. So for 8 days, and I would greatly appreciate your prayers so that the Holy Spirit will actually someday make me holy. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.